Good evening, everyone. Okay, if you want to open your Bibles, we're going to do our second message on the Omega series here. I did the Alpha series of the first of alls. Now we're on the finalies. We did the first one a few weeks ago when I was before you. Tonight we're going to do message number two. If you want to open to Philippians chapter 3, that's where this message is going to come from tonight. And while you're flipping there, I just want to give you an update that my wife received, that Kathy received from Katie Wilson. She had her cancer check last week, and all the tests came back clear. She's clear. Cancer is not there, gone, goodbye, whatever at this point. So we're very thankful for that. But she wanted to let you guys know that she's aware she's been on our prayer list, so to speak, and people have been praying for her. She appreciates very much those prayers, and wanted to make sure that you were aware that she knows you've been praying for her and how much she appreciates that. So, on her behalf, thank you. All right? All right, let's take a look at our text for tonight, Philippians chapter 3. We're just going to do the first three verses. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me and is a safeguard for you. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. For we are the true circumcision. Now it says who worship. That's actually the word latreo. So I'm going to read it the way it should read. Who serve in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Let's go to our great Lord in whom we have confidence. Lord Jesus, we thank you again for all that you've done for us as we've had the opportunity again today to be at the table and remember the plan that was executed to bring this opportunity for us to be a part of your kingdom, and that required your death. And we're grateful that you were the one that was willing to make the even exchange of sin so that we could be redeemed and brought back into fellowship with you. Thankful again for the body of believers here in Billings. I appreciate them greatly and just so appreciate their diligence and work and things that go on among this body and are pleasing to you, Lord, and I'm thankful for that. Just pray that my message tonight will do the same, that it will bring you glory and honor and be pleasing to you, and in so doing, I'm hopeful that it will further encourage and edify and equip the saints for the work of service which you've entrusted to us. So I thank you for this opportunity, and I offer up my thanksgiving to you, Lord Jesus, you are the Christ. Amen. All right, so this is, like I said, our second message, and finally, like if you weren't here for the first one, that word finally, really in the Greek, I'm not going to go to the word again, but the word in Greek just means things that remain or what remains. So, you know, what remains, my brethren? You know, Paul is in the middle of a thought here and goes, well, what remains? And he's actually, it looked like he was ready to close the letter, and he went, oh, I need to touch on this topic before I actually move to the close, because we're going to have another finally in chapter 4, verse 8, which doesn't mean next time I'm in front of you, I'll do Philippians 4, 8. I kind of look through what these passages are and decide what I think is appropriate at the time and the order. But anyway, there's another finally coming up in this letter from the Apostle Paul. So what remains? He's talking about what remains. What's important here that he wants to remind them or talk about? And so he says, you know, rejoice in the Lord, number one, is a big thing. And then, you know, this message is for Rain. He doesn't know it, but it's for him because he said he needed to be reminded a lot. So Paul said to write the same things again is no trouble to me and is a safeguard. Or that word in the Greek means it will not fail. It's secure, okay? Your security. It's a security for you is what that would be more literally in the Greek, okay? So we'll start to break this down, and these are critical safeguards, obviously, based on the context of verse 1, that Paul is leaving for the Philippians to understand in their day. So whatever the concepts, the issues are in that time, we understand that those concepts, those issues are present today for us. In context, I think if we read through that when he's talking about beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of the false circumcision, I mean, it seems like he's talking about the ones who gave him the most problems when he was on his missionary journeys, right? It was always the Jews that were, you know, getting things riled up, you know. So, you know, keep that in mind as we go through this, okay? So these are critical safeguards we need to pay attention to. So rejoice. And that Greek word is the same word we get the word grace from, you know, charis, charisma. You know, this is just kairo. That's the verb form, okay? And in the Greek, it's used many different ways, all right, in the context letters written in the gospel accounts. But at its core, the word just means to be cheerful, calmly happy, understand you're well off or favored. You're in a favored position. All those concepts are included in that. So when we think of grace, charis, which comes from Cairo here, not the city in Egypt. Okay, this is Cairo, the verb in the Greek, all right? It's the same kind of concepts that are communicated, you know, favor, gift, you know, all those kind of things. Be happy, all right? So it's used several other, well, like 100 and some times. No, I'm sorry. This word's only, I'm thinking grace is 100 and some. This is like only 60 sometimes, if I remember right. Like you can look at it in Matthew and John. It's used, you know, like in John, Jesus said, you know, Abraham rejoiced, or Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. Okay? It's the same word. All right? And you can look in other places throughout. You'll see somewhere it's translated in the New Testament, hail, you know, hail. You know, like when we hail somebody. So it would, if you think of it like favored one or well-off one, that's what that means when you see hail. And it's translated this way. So some of you got your, you know, your Olive Tree Bible apps or whatever, and you're already looking through these. And I've lost you until I get you back when you're done searching through that word group there. So I'll probably catch you about point two when you come back. But anyway, that's what that word is means can be used, all these different things, all right? Now, the thing here is Paul's in prison. We know that from the opening verses in chapter 1, right? Now, I want you to understand the whole letter is, the context letter is kind of hinged upon this critical concept. So go to chapter 1. And, you know, Paul's going to talk by the end of this, you know, I've learned to be content, whatever, all right? Verse 12 in chapter 1 kind of sets up that ending that comes in chapter 4. He said, now I want you to know, brethren, chapter 1, verse 12 in Philippians, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. That's his mindset. You know, Rain's Lord's Supper set me up, I think, perfectly. Now he says, you know, what are you looking for? What's the opportunity? You know, what is the greater progress of the gospel for us? That's what we should be looking for. So he's sitting here in jail, and his mindset is completely different than what we would understand most people to be seated in a jail would possess in that situation, right? So he says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. You know, be happy. You know, you're favored. You're well off. You know, how can he say that? Well, because he's viewing everything from the perspective of eternity, isn't he? And that's the way we should. You know, I have to remind myself when I'm going through things, this is short term, whatever happened, there's an eternity ahead of me, right? It's just way better, you know. I'll get through this, even though I might grump and gripe a little bit, which I shouldn't, but I might. But in the view of eternity and what's coming, man, really? Really? Even as bad as this world is and as bad as America is right now, you know, in the context of eternity, if we remain faithful to Christ, hey, we got this, right? We got it. We're in good shape. We're doing great. He says, so rejoice. I'm in a jail cell, no problem. I looked for how I could use it for the greater progress of the gospel. So he's encouraging him from that. To write these same things, no trouble to me, is a safeguard for you. So we have evidence of Paul's attitude, like I said, and it's all based on this idea of I'm going to look for the greater progress of the gospel. So how's our mindset when circumstances and conditions come our way? Is there an opportunity for me to seek a way for the greater progress of the gospel? You know, pretty dark out there, you know, spiritually in America, but there's going to be an opportunity. You don't know where it's going to come for maybe the greater progress of the gospel. We just have to have our mindset on that. You know, and Paul wasn't upset with these guys that were jailers. He didn't go, I ain't going to talk to these guys. They're part of the whole system that's corrupt. What do you do? He says, hey, You know, I understand that my warfare and our warfare is against the spiritual powers of darkness, the world forces, you know. It's not these guys particular. Maybe they're under the sway of it, but how can I help them out? So I have to constantly remind myself those kind of things, particularly when I'm looking at the political spectrum, because the political spectrum drives me nuts. You know, I'm supposed to pray for kings and those in authority? Well, it doesn't say presidents. Good. I don't have to. No, you know what I'm saying. You know what I mean. I have to work on it. And I did a message on that, you know, when we were doing the first of alls way back when, that this is something I have to remind myself. I need to pray for these guys. They're a soul. Some of them are pretty evil right now. But, you know, in my day, I was pretty evil. I'm not glorying in it. I'm just being honest. All right? And I'm thankful a lot of you don't know my past. Hope you never really know it. Some of you know it because we sat next to each other doing things we shouldn't have been doing. All right? But I'm glad you don't know that. All right? So, you know, and the other thing that I always think of when I'm reading these jail letters is I always think what, you know, Brother Jay has been mentioned a couple times today at least. Brother Jay Wilson has always said, and I listen to a lot of his classes and his preaching messages, more his teaching. I really like Jay's teaching methods and his information that he brings. But he's always said, and it's something that I've heard him say many times, he said, the assemblies, Bible classes, everything that circle, you know, that I guess is part of the assemblies are about preparing the saints for what? The courtroom, right? Paul, he had the opportunity in courts, right? For the concentration camps. You know, hey, that I think that's very possible. Could be. And for the chambers, as in torture chambers. You know, so that you'll be able to withstand that. If you haven't got an idea of how much the people out there hate Christianity, I mean really hate it, you should by now. I mean, if they're able and the obstacles are removed or the impediments are removed and they can enforce their agenda on you violently, they will. Whenever there's a revolution, there's usually a lot of death associated with it. Okay? So the guys that lose in a revolution, and there's cultural revolutions ongoing throughout the world today, including America, when those who are running their agenda win, believe me, they like to exact their vengeance. Could it happen to us? And again, I'm not trying to be, you know, like Rain said, I don't want to be a nattering nabob of negativity, but I do want to be someone who paints a picture of reality, because we have had it really good. I mean, we forget that throughout the world there are people that cannot even be seen with a Bible in lands in what we call the Middle East without being put to death. Remember what I said? When they win? See, when Islam won in those regions, what did they say? We're the winners, and here's the rules, and if you break this, you will die. So it's going on in the world today for us to sit here and think it'll never happen in America. I think we need to snap out of that stupor. There are places in America where the and I'm not just picking on the Islamic folks. I'm telling you, there's Hindus that can be really violent in the application of their belief system against Christians. Believe me, it happens, right? But, you know, there are places in America where the Islamic folks have concentrated so heavily. Let's just forget Europe. It's well documented in Europe, where police won't even go in there. The Islamic folks have their own government to themselves there. In America. You know. So it's happening. It's happening. So Paul's saying, hey, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. Are you going to rejoice in the Lord when those days come? I'm hoping I can. If I put enough of this in, hopefully I'll stand. Okay, so now Paul says, now look, I'm here because of a lot of things that have happened, but they were generated by a group of people. So let's go to point number two, all right? So he says, beware. This is just the Greek word blepo, which means to look at, okay, keep an eye on. That's what he's saying, keep an eye on these things. And this in context is the Judaizers, the Jews, okay, in particular, that he's talking about here. Because you can go and look at the context that follows, and he gives his physical, you know, heritage. So he is actually looking at those who have given him the most grief. In his time, he's saying, beware of these guys. So when you're reading this, think of whatever the factors are today in our culture that are against us. Okay? So dogs, this word's used a lot not a lot, but it's used in the scripture. And you can get an idea of some of the concepts that come scripturally with the use of the word dog, which we're going to get here in just a moment. So let's just start by dogs. Let's go to Psalms. We're going to keep your finger in Philippians 3 if you've got your written Bible with you and you're not working off your electronic one. Otherwise, the electronics just boom back and forth. So this is 59. Psalm 59. See how this word is used. There's other places it's used in the Old Testament. I'm just going to give you a few tonight. Psalm 59. This is a prayer for deliverance from enemies, from David. Okay? So he's talking about those who are against him. But look at the terminology that we're going to use here in verse 5. You, O Lord God, or you, Yahweh Elohim of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, awake to punish all nations. That would include Gentiles, right? Do not be gracious to any who are treacherous in iniquity. They return at evening. They howl like a dog. We used to have one of those kind of dogs. What was Cornut again? A beagle? Beagle. Don't ever own a beagle. All right. And everything and anything. You met Cornut, didn't you, Mike? I think you met Cornut. No? Okay. Okay. Anyway. So they howl, right? Howl like a dog around the city. Behold, they belch forth with their mouth. Swords are in their lips, for they say, who hears? But you, O Yahweh, laugh at them. You scoff at the nations. So you can see he's talking in general about everybody that would be against him, but the nations that surround him, right? So let's go to Matthew chapter 7. See how this is used by our Lord. Matthew 7, verse 6. And this is judging others is the headline above chapter 7, right? One of the most lifted out of context sections of scripture that you'll come across today. Do not judge. Oh, really? Okay. How about if we get the whole context? It says, just judge righteously. Get your life straightened out. If you're squared away, you can judge righteously. Aren't we being taught and through the Word and according to Hebrews so that we can discern between good and evil? Doesn't that require judgment? How dare you? You judge? You know? Just another thing the world does. Okay, verse 6. Do not give what is holy to dogs. Do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. All right. These are people that they're not ready to hear, man. These are dogs barking and yapping, right? We got a couple of dogs across the alley from us. Nice gal that owns them. I think there's actually three there now. But, I mean, they're barking all the time. All the time. It can be really disruptive, you know, kind of distracting. You know, so I'm trying to, what do you think they were doing when the message was going out? Jews are going around barking. This guy's come here and turning the world upside down. Bark, right? Right? You can just hear him, you know, and Paul's like, ooh, all right? Dogs, unclean animals, considered unclean animals in the law, and again, you know, just unclean, disease, just everything you can imagine. Bites the hand and feet. You can get my picture pretty clear. I could go into this really deep, all right? So just a couple of others I want to get. Deuteronomy 23, and we'll try and move on. Try to move on. Verse 18, verse 17 for context, Deuteronomy 23, verse 17. None of the daughters of Israel shall be a cult prostitute, nor shall any of the sons of Israel be a colt prostitute. So you can see they could both be a prostitute. You shall not bring the hire of a harlot. That's normally what they call a female prostitute, right? Oh, or the wages of a dog. So you can see how this is also used. Say this is like a male colt prostitute, okay? Right? So that's where you get into Revelation. It says at the end, you know, in Revelation 22, it says, outside are the dogs. So you can take that two ways based on what we looked at tonight. Just those that are, you know, unclean, you know, yapping, distracting, whatever. Or those who have sold themselves into idolatry as a prostitute. So it would be somebody that might push an idolatrous agenda, maybe. You could see in a spiritual perspective. Okay? Right? Just kind of give you something to think about. It's also spoken of as false teachers and prophets or inferred as dogs in Isaiah 56. I'm going to let you read this on your own, verses 10 through 12. All right? So, back to Philippians. Beware of the dogs. Remember the Jewish law, the Jewish people, customs, manners, how they felt about dogs, and they associate that terminology with Gentiles, with anybody that was just considered unclean. So what's Paul saying now? Oh, these guys that say this is who dogs are, guess who's the dog now? It's the Jew. Beware of the dogs. All right? This is the unclean one now. This is the defiled one now. Right? Okay, Psalm 22. What are you talking about? Okay, so we are very familiar with this psalm. It's Jesus Christ, the opening words of this psalm on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me, right? So we know this is messianic in nature, don't we? Right from the get-go. All right, so let's just drop down to verse 16. He's talking about those that are around him. So we know this is the context of the foreshadow of the context of his crucifixion. Look what he says in verse 16. For dogs have surrounded me, yapping. Oh, if you're the Son of God, come down off the cross. Woo, 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 woo. Right? A band of evildoers. Oh, what was point number two there in verse two? Oh, beware of the evil workers. Huh. Has encompassed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Now we know. This is a foreshadow of what's going to take place at his crucifixion, don't we? Who's he calling dogs? Who's he calling evil workers? Is this the Gentiles? That's a big no. This is the Jewish people that did this to him, with the help of the Romans, of course. They had to manipulate Pontius Pilate, but they got it done. Those are the ones who are at the barking at him, right? Evil workers. Okay, let's make this easy. Let's go to John 3. Evil workers. Let's just make it easy. This is, you know, first, the original episode of Nick at Night is the context. Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night, right? That's the context where John 3:16 comes from. God so loved the world that whosoever believes in his Son, right? And then they quit reading. But boy, there's some really good information that follows that verse. Right? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For, verse 17, God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. That indicates they've already been judged. Well, let's see if my supposition is correct. 18, he who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged. Oh, I was right. So he came to save because they were already condemned, judged. Man, pretty close-minded of him. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment that the light has come into the world. Jesus said, I am the light. Men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifest as have been wrought in God. Anybody that does not come to Jesus, guess what the scripture says? Evil. It's a pretty broad description, isn't it? Evil workers. So anybody of these Jews that hadn't converted to Christ, this is a completely okay statement by Jesus in John 3. It's an okay statement by Paul in Philippians 3, backed by scripture in Psalm 22, the crucifixion events, and what Jesus said to Nick at night. Look, Nick said, we know you're from God. No one could do what you do unless they come from God. He's speaking for that group. They're evil. Look, it's pretty hard to say today, particularly in America, that people are unaware of Jesus. I would say that's pretty hard to say. There are some, I'm sure, but it would be hard to say, oh, I have no idea who Jesus is. So again, like I'm saying, you can see how the Jews have completely flipped their situation. They were the people of God, but now they're not the people of God. They're called beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of the mutilators. That's what false circumcision says there. It's actually not peritoma, which is the word for circumcision. It's katatoma, which means you cut off. Ooh, cut off. Whenever I read things and I start to do word studies, and I cut off, mutilate to just cut off, I go, ooh. I can remember doing a word study and presenting some of that stuff to you all years ago about how the Old Testament communicated what it meant to be cut off from God. You were toast, literally. You're going to hell, right? You're toast. These guys are the false, they're cut off. Why? Because they did not choose to follow the Messiah, buttressed by 100+ direct prophecies about Jesus, that he fulfilled every one of them. They deliberately chose not to follow. Just like people today, you can sit down with the Bible and lay it all out, show them all this stuff. They cannot contest what the Bible says any longer. What they do is they try and play games with the timing of when it was written. Oh, that was after the fact. That wasn't prophesied before. And that's what they try and do, see? Well, thank goodness. Well, let's just say thank God that some Essenes buried a bunch of scriptures in some earthen jars over by the Dead Sea, and some shepherd boy found them, 1947. And they date them, and they go, well, it's pretty clear these are all at least 100, 150 B.C., maybe earlier 250 B.C., and you have all kinds of prophecies that were written down well before Jesus came and fulfilled them. So timing's out the window, too. So when you sit down with people and you show them this stuff, and they reject it, it's just out of pure evil intent, according to Scripture. And I don't like saying that about people, but that's where they're at. They're evil. Like I said, I'm not trying to throw everybody under the bus and say I'm better than them. I'm telling you, I was pretty evil in my day. And I'm not glorying it. I'm just being honest. And so what I'm trying to get you to do is step back and go, yeah, that's kind of where I was too, probably. Pretty evil. So we got to understand that whatever the forces that are arrayed against us today, they are no different than what Paul faced. They're going to be yapping and barking. Oh, you haters, you misogynists, you homophobes, just pick a, just come at it. Whatever. That's what they're going to just bark at you. Okay? And at some point, based on the way I see laws progressing in America, we'll end up in jail. I'm sure I will. Pretty sure I will. Not because I want to, but I'm not going to back down and say, oh, well, I don't know what the Lord really thinks about same-sex marriage. I know exactly what he thinks about it. He said male and female joined, period. That kind of excludes same-sex. Okay? Sorry. You're not getting into heaven, Mr. Homosexual or Miss Homosexual. Not going. Sorry. No matter what the false evil workers of our present day, promoting a false gospel or whatever, are trying to pitch, right? And they're everywhere, brethren. They're the modern Jew today to the true Christian, right? I see it everywhere. Maybe I got too much time to read. You know, I'm retired. And you guys go, man, get your nose out of that. You know, quit reading. But I just see what's coming. I just see what's coming. You know, I'm just trying to warn you guys. Say we need to be ready. All right? There are the false circumcision, like I said. Where are the true circumcision? So let's close this out real quick. By the way, you can go back into the Old Testament in Deuteronomy in two different places, and God makes it very clear to the physical lineage of Abraham that the ones that were really belong to him were the ones that would live by faith, but it would be involved in those who understood that there had to be a circumcision, not of the physical flesh, but of the heart. And the heart was just the deepest inner man, which it's saying up here. The way you think is what's got to be changed, right? That sounds like repentance, right? And so, you know, the book of Romans, Paul does a good job of destroying any concept or idea that the physical Jews of today are God's chosen people. But I got to tell you, I watched a little bit of, and I don't watch much girls basketball, but this Caitlin Clark, I've watched some of her games. This gal is, she's a generational talent. I think she could smoke most of us on a basketball court, even those of us that have a lot of experience playing basketball. But during the game, they threw out, or maybe it was following the game, they threw out an ad, and it was, pray for the peace of Jerusalem and all this. And they, of course, it's the Jews. Pray for the physical nation. You know, the New Testament makes it very clear, the true Jew is the one who's been circumcised, right, by the Spirit. His heart's been circumcised by the Spirit, not by the letter of the law. You know, so how can the physical lineage, you can't claim you're physical Jew today anyway. I don't know how you can. You have to have the records to prove your heritage. Temple destroyed, all the records destroyed, can't prove it. You know? But no way. Just the book of Romans destroys any concept that the physical nation of Israel can in any sense, or the physical descendants of we'll just say Israel, Jacob, in any sense could claim to be the people of God. According to Paul, they're dogs, evil workers, and part of the false circumcision if they have not converted to Christ. Now, I've heard people say, and Matt Hartford's one of the ones I've heard recently say, that you go to Israel today, there's parts in Israel today, particularly Tel Aviv, where there is a huge homosexual population. But the Jews and stuff in that area, it's reported that it happens frequently that when people know that these religious caravans are coming through Christians, they like to hassle them, spit on them. You don't read that, do you? It's happening. Look, there's a lot of Jews who really don't like Christianity, trust me. Okay? Now, I'm not up here being anti-Semitic. I'm just saying, look, this is the reality of the situation. All right? So, this is what happened. Paul said, they are dogs. They are evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. So, we got to put it in our mind. Who are these people to us today? There ain't, most Jews aren't in America today harassing us. I'm not saying that's happening here. It's not. Not to my knowledge. Okay? But there are lots of other groups that are barking at us, trying to shut us down, distract us. Amen? Okay, so, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. I want you to know that. Whatever's going on, rejoice in the Lord. To remind you of these things again, or to write these same things to you again, I'm reminding you. It's no trouble for me, and it's a safeguard. It's security for you guys. So, you know, I've told you when I get up here, I'm gonna tell you about these things over and over again. I'm trying to get us ready. I really see what's coming. I'll tell you, if the Democrats win the election and they take both houses, you think things aren't going to change? There will be laws you never thought you'd see come through in the first 90 days at warp speed. And they'll be directed at hate speech. Targeted right at you and me. Okay? Now, I don't know if they're going to win or not. Or if it'll be the Republicrats. I don't know. You know, it's going to be it'll be the Uniparty, one or the other. Two wings of the great, you know, My God. Well, you guys know how I feel about that. It's the great vulture that's picking our carcass clean of our resources and our liberties. Both parties, in my opinion, both. Okay? So that's my opinion. Everybody knows how I feel about my opinion. All right? So we who have the Holy Spirit, we serve in the Spirit, right? Isn't that what it says? We are the true circumcision who serve in the Spirit of God. Yes! So only if you have the Spirit of God can you say you're part of the true circumcision, right? And then you can glory in Christ Jesus. And we put no confidence in the flesh. I certainly don't. I certainly don't. The arm of flesh will fail you, guaranteed, right? But I do have confidence in Christ Jesus. How about you? Man, that's what we're going to have to hang on to, brothers and sisters. I'm serious. We got to start believing this with everything we got. We just got to. It's a coming, all right? So, let's close it out. I'll just give you a summation. Let's just close it out. I'm a little late. What a shock. But anyway, remember, be joyful. Rejoice. Kevin ran late. Right? Be joyful. You know, it says rejoice, but I'm going to give you three Beatitudes. Be joyful, be aware, all right? And be serving in the Spirit. Don't glory in the flesh. Don't look to the world out there to solve the issues that are before us, brethren. And there's lots of great organizations that are trying to do that, and I mean that sincerely. Trust and have confidence that Jesus is going to pull this thing off for us. That's what I'm putting my confidence in. Let's close with a word of prayer. Lord God, we are thankful. I'm thankful that, yes, I've been drawn out of the darkness and into your marvelous light. Thank you, Lord, for your patience, your mercy, your compassion directed to me on an individual basis. So appreciative for that and on my brothers and sisters' parts as well. Lord, help us to understand the times. We need to be aware of what's going on, but not lose hope. Not in you, Lord. That's the only place I've got any hope is in your plan and in your purpose and in your promise. So help us to use whatever days we have to understand that we need to beware of those barking dogs out there. There's a lot of evil workers. Boy, there's a lot of them, Lord, coming against your people, against your church. Lord, we need to understand that we are the true circumcision. You said we are the true Jew. So, Lord, I am thankful, again, that we stand in such a blessed position that we have so much available to us through your word and through the encouragement of our brothers and sisters and the promises that lay ahead for us. And just thankful again that we can petition you and come before you at any time. And how I pray that we will remember that. Use that position of prayer to get before you when times really get difficult and to rely on you and always looking, whatever the circumstances are, what is the opportunity for greater progress of the gospel? Help us to possess that mindset that the Apostle Paul had and then provides as an example for us. In that, we know you'll be glorified. Bless us, Lord, as we leave here. And help us to get to our home safely. And whatever days, as I said, lie ahead, that we would use them well to your glory. Thank you for all things you've done for us, Jesus. We praise you. Amen.